Thank you, Jeremy. Good morning, church. Happy Mother's Day. No one is happy about it. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to those on screen and those on site. As everybody knows, today is Mother's Day. And Mother's Day is a day that we come and appreciate people. Children, before you go, can I give you blessings before you go to Sunday school? Let us pray for the children first before they go, right? I feel very bad to send them out. Let's pray for the children. Father, we thank you once again for allowing us to congregate here. And we thank you for giving us children and to see that our next generation is here to worship with us. As we send them out to learn, Lord, I ask that you bless the Sunday school teacher and bless their thoughts and bless their hearts. And bless that the children will absorb, will digest what they learn, and may your spirit inspire them of your words and their studies, and they will have a joy from learning your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may go now. As I was saying, Mother's Day, it is Mother's Day, but every time we think about Mother's Day, is Mother's Day really just for mothers? Have you ever thought about that? Is Mother's Day a day that we come to appreciate mothers, but we always think about just mothers? Have you ever thought about people who motherhood you? People who treat you like a child, who is not your mother, who is not a woman? Maybe sometimes it's just, maybe a husband who just lost their wife. And he has to mother his own child. Maybe it's just children who has lost their parents, both of them, through accident, through sickness. And the siblings have to be a mother to their siblings. Maybe it's just some relatives. You need to go away. You put your children with the relatives, and they have to mother your child. Yeah? And most of all, some stranger even go to the extent to look after other people's child. So let make you think about Mother's Day again. Huh? Today we come here to appreciate mothers, motherhood. I think we should be appreciating people who show motherhood to others. Not just our own mothers, not just women, but sometimes men too. They look after. I remember my father looked after me like a mother. He cooked for me. You know, my first learning cooking skill was cooking noodles. I learned it from my father when he was teaching my brother. My brother still can't cook. And in the end, I was sitting there watching him doing every single step. I learned it and I cook for my family. Today, till this day, every time I cook noodles for my family, it always reminds me of how my dad mothered us. So think about it. So I don't want you to, I hope that today as we walk away, we show appreciation to all mother people who motherhood us. Mothering is hard work. It is parenting. It's an act of parenting. It's a part of it. And parenting require lots of wisdom. I mean, lots of them. I don't know how much is enough. You never seem to get enough. All right? When the child was young, they were trying to tackle you. They were trying every way to test your boundary. But as they grow taller and taller, the boundary seems to, the testing seems to be greater and greater all the time. By the time they reach 18, wow, something nasty is coming. You know it's coming, but you don't know when. You just wait on guard all the time. Not just mother, the father wait as well. So it's parenting. Now today we look at a mighty mom from what I think is a mighty mom, because she's an all-rounder. She does everything. We thought only women of today, mother of today, does this thing. But back in Bible, 3,000 years ago, you see mother like this already. So there's nothing new under the sun. So today, as a mother, if you're a woman, if you are looking after your children and you're working and serving your husband, After hard work, you got to come back and cook and wash and put your kids to bed. Everything, it seems that you are the ones doing it. Don't complain, because this woman did that. But men, you got to look after your woman. I remember when I got married, my pastor tell me, you know what's your job? You know what's your number one task after you got married? It's to make your wife look good. It's to make your wife look pretty. That's your job as a man. I remember until today. So make your wife look good. She's handling that. Now today we're going to look at an image here. We're going to look at from the book of Proverbs. Now there are books of Proverbs is book what we call the book of wisdom, a wisdom literature. So this wisdom, there are three wisdom literature in the Bible: Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job. All of them are talking about same thing. They are talking about wisdom of God, but in from a different perspective. But they tackle these questions. They all tackle what kind of world do we living in? What does it look like to live well in this world? So in short, it's that how to be good in life. So these are the three things. If you're looking for wisdom to guide you, to lead you in your life, these are three books that you need to look at. It may be if you're in hardship right now, you say, wow, how come my life is in such a situation? Then you need to look at Job. You need to look at Ecclesiastes. Alright? So, what is Proverbs? Proverbs tells us, when you read the Proverbs, it begins with a father giving an advice to a son. But then later on, from chapter 10 onwards, you find that it personifies the whole book as a brilliant young woman teacher. So in other words, this is actually a book of a woman. Women must read, but men also must read, all right? I seem to get feedback. Can you lower down the volume? I get echo coming back to me. Yes, please. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's much better. And Proverbs show us that this woman, she's a very, very smart woman. She knows everything, just like the mom that we saw. You know, she just needs to know how to analyze. She knows everything that is going on in life. And he has incredible insights of all things into things that you and I don't see. Normally, we probably somehow would give a miss. But she's not. She believed there is an invisible force. This invisible force, she called it wisdom. And this wisdom is just like, it guides you and leads you in everything in life. It's just like gravity. You don't see it, but it's putting everything intact and keep everything in order. That's why we can sit on it, we can stand without falling into space. So it gives us this picture. And today we see that this most of us, we see wisdom as a knowledge. But that's not actually true. Wisdom is more than knowledge. It is an attribute of God. And God used this wisdom to create the universe, create you and me. Then whenever people make good or wise or maybe a justice decision, you are tapping into wisdom. People who make bad decision are people who are trying to fight against wisdom. That's what this young teacher is talking about, is encouraging and advising the world. So this is like what Proverbs has said, right from the beginning. Those people who are rebellious, those rebellious fools, they will destroy themselves. But people who listen to wisdom will live in security. Now let me tell you something. This is a moral law of the universe. It's a moral law, it's a guide. Alright? And this lady wisdom, she just go around roaming the earth and telling everyone and encouraging and calling people out and making herself available to anyone who would want to listen and learn from her. And this, she gives access to everyone who wants to get access to this wisdom. Give, interact with wisdom and want to use it to build a beautiful life for yourself and for others as well. Anyone who wants to access, you can access it. And if you are looking for help to put wisdom into work, to build to develop skills, to build a better life, Proverbs is the book that you need to read. It's one of the books you need to read. Now, but however, as we are saying, there's so much about Proverbs that we can talk about. Especially the main focus is talking about wisdom. I need to warn you that wisdom is not law. Wisdom is not prophecy. Wisdom is not promises. Wisdom is definitely not a formula to your success. If you are looking for success, then you're looking the wrong way. It is only a probability. A probability that you might get a good life. Why? Why is it probability? Because life is too complex. There's no guarantee, because things will happen. Sometimes things nasty happen to people who are good. Sometimes things, we should not be asking the question, why this thing happened to me? It happens. I don't know why. But Proverbs give us a clear idea of this wisdom. You need to pursue this wisdom, because pursuing this wisdom, you stand a higher chance. In other words, this is the book of bettings. You can bet on it, but there's no guarantee. In other words, this wisdom stirs you to trust. It stirs you to trust on God. Stirs you to trust that God is still in control, for better or for worse. That's what marriage is for better or for worse. So life is too complex. All right, there's no guarantee. So you can't rely on this as a guarantee. After reading this, Pastor Jimmy asked me to read Proverbs, but I still don't get a good life out of it. I'm not promising you that thing, because this is not promising us anything. It's just giving us wisdom. All right? So all this wisdom from Proverbs does to us? All this proverb is actually giving us a general rules. Right, it's giving us a decision. It focuses on the general rules, not exceptions. All right, it's like this. This is I went to the wrong one. Yep. All right, only giving focus on the general rules. So today's scriptures, we see that it gives us a mighty mom. What I call it, a mighty mom, because it's so powerful. It's very powerful mom. I never seen such a powerful mom in my life, including my own mom. All right, there are lots of things that she has done that I never seen my mom do. I never seen my wife does. But I seen other thoughts. It's recorded in the Bible. When I read through those, how do you manage that time, that energy, you know? But if you read this and you see this as a promise, then your woman will have a problem, because you will see a lot of flaws in your own woman, isn't it? So please do not use this as a law. Do not use, because it's in the Bible, don't use this as a law against your wife or any of the women or anyone who is showing mothering to you. It's not supposed to be that. It's not a formula. So if you're looking for a woman, this is a perfect woman. But please, don't go use this as a standard and go around, if you're single, looking for a woman that is that high standard. I don't think you can, probably you find, but the chances are you the right person for the lady? So what this mighty mom, it paints us a picture of a woman who has noble characters, all right? And she lives according to the wisdom of the prophets and stand like a role model, a model for someone who takes the God's wisdom and put it into practice. This is what it encouraged us to do, all right? It gives us a model. You take the wisdom of God and put it into practice in all your decision-making. At your home, at your work, at your church, in your family, in your community. You put all this wisdom to work. and try to make a good life out of it. There are some distinctive characteristics of the woman I would like to share, of this woman that I would like to share with you. Just briefly going to go through with you. The first one is fear. The Bible says fear of the wisdom. The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That means that it tells us that, you know, wisdom is an attribute of God himself. Like I said just now, God uses this wisdom to create a world and create you and me. So wisdom means that this, you are on a journey to becoming wise when you fear the Lord. Now, it's a very hard word to take in, isn't it? When you talk about fear. Nowadays, we don't understand anymore because we don't understand each other. Somehow, we thought we were talking in line, speaking the same language, but you got the wrong idea. This is what not what it means of fear. I don't know how it should put it. Fear is not a good word to me. All right. When I read the Chinese Bible, it's much more to me. It's much more understanding. It's talking about respect. We use the word godly and respect God. So you don't use the word fear. All right. So we got to explain a little bit more. Now, this fear of the Lord doesn't mean that you are in terror every time you see God. You talk about God, you're terrified. All right. Like a child's terrified for the father because I don't know whether my father will punish me. All right. It's not that. This fear of the Lord is a healthy relationship. It's a healthy sense of you respect God for who he is and respecting that your place, who God is, and my place in this universe. All right. So you need to understand your boundary between you and God. You need to understand the relationship between you and God. Who is God and who are you? Who am I? All right? And it is in this mindset, it is a moral mindset that recognizes that I'm not God. All right? I have no rights to ask for rights. I have no rights to set the definition of right and wrong and evil and good. Yeah? That's why we got so much problem in this world. We got different values because of we set a definition of right and evil. Right in front of us. Right within our community. Right in our family. That's why you see the world going into war because they talk about that. We don't share the same value. We don't share the same view. You see how what people are doing right now? People are doing it to each other. There's nothing new under the sun. Everybody is doing everything to each other. They're sinners. It proves even more that we are living in a sinful world that need a lot of grace. That's why the song today, Amazing Grace, we need more of that. We really need more of that. Why do you think we get you to sing song? By the way, thanks to Marty to choose the song. And you know, when we sing the song, don't just sing it, read the lyrics. It's a reminder. Maybe the Holy Spirit is inspiring you through the song. So it begins with that. It's not terror. It is a healthy relationship. It's the moral rights that recognize who you are. When you recognize that, then you know. Rather than setting up something that you're not supposed to, you humble yourself before God and embrace God's definition of right and wrong, good and evil. Even when it means that it's inconvenient for you. When that rule that is set out to you is inconvenient to you, you still obey it. You still have the wisdom to not to step over God's boundary. That is true wisdom. You know where the boundary is? I'm not going to step over. We know where the boundary is? I'm not going to play God. It's not my job. So I really understand who I am and what I'm here for. So I don't step over God's boundary. If it's not my job, I will not do it. And if you know this true wisdom, it helps you to find a path that towards your success of making a good life in anything that you try to make, no matter what you do it. That is the first thing that this woman has. This woman, this noble woman of noble character, has the heart to fear the Lord. The second thing that she has is she is very diligent. You see in the scripture, I just can't explain enough. She seems to be working since right from the beginning to the end, never stop. Well, where did she get the energy from? It's through this wisdom. She always worked diligently with her hands. She always mindful. She gets up early. She provides food for her family. And she even go all the way out to provide for her servant. I thought servant's supposed to be provide for me, but she provide for her servant. She arranged job and arranged everything ahead of time. And she managed her family finances, her money. She go out to make some profit. And she keep herself fit for the family. Can you imagine that? That's why you go to the gym today. Yeah? We should keep ourselves fit so that we can run a better mile. She is always on the go all the time. That's a second characteristic. And the third one she has is that she's a very loving person. She not only provide for herself, she reach out to the community. She loves her community. She provides for the needies, people who are in need. All right? You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, don't provide for people who don't need it. Don't provide for people who you love, who will love you back. But provide for people who won't be able to love you back. Now, that is love. If you are able to provide for your family, that's nothing. This is your responsibility. But you are able to provide for someone who is a stranger to you, who have never asked you for help, and who can't pay you back, that is love. So today we are here sharing love here. But this woman are willing to share her love, extend her love beyond his family wall. Are we as a church willing to extend the love that we show each other beyond our church wall? That's a challenge. It's very easy to love one another here. But it's not as easy once you walk out of the door. You meet a stranger on the door that is different from you. Different color, different smell, different. I have a problem. I must admit. I have a problem. I got to apologize to people who are in mainly music. Because when I come in on Monday morning, I don't know what to do. Because they are all women. I feel very weird if I talk to any of the mother there for too long. Because if you get what I mean? I don't want to be misunderstood. So I have to stay away, stay a boundary, and say hi. That's all I can do. But if you ask me to get closer, no, I got to worry about my situation because I'm a man. If I'm a woman, probably got no problem. But I have a problem with that. You say that it's so hard? But I still come, try to come every Monday, and then I try to interact and try to see whether there's a spot that I can sneak in and say hi, maybe say a few more. There are times that I have, but most of the time I don't, because I feel I got concerned when I got too close to another mom. All right? But anyway, this woman feared the Lord. Therefore, she worked diligently. She has love and compassion for people beyond her family. And fourthly, she is a wise person. She is very wise. Therefore, she respects her husband. Why is it respecting your husband a wise thing to do? What would happen if you don't respect your husband? If you don't respect anyone in your family, what would happen? Disaster happened. Chaos happened. No peace, no love. There's always fighting, there's always grumbling, always whinging. She's wise. She put in, she planned ahead, she have great support for her husband and for her children. She don't just talk. She do and talk. She walk the talk and talk the walk. She's a doer. All right? She speak wisdom. She don't use her tongue to tell lies. She don't use her tongue to badmouth anyone in her community or even in her family. All right? That's why she control her tongue. All right? She's a peacemaker. She make peace. Can you imagine if anyone in your family go around telling the person next person lie about you or things that is not untrue about you, do you think there will be peace in the family? There won't be peace. So she brings dignity. Because of this, she brings dignity to the family. She brings dignity to the community. And finally, she lived a godly life. Early on in the verse, said that many women do noble things, but she surpassed all of them. Wow, she's the woman of the best of the best. It says that beauty and charm of a woman are normally it's the first impression for anyone. Not just women, men, or anyone. The first impression really stick to you and the impression that attracts you. That's beauty and charm. But the Bible tells us that it can also be deceptive and it can fade away one day. Believe me. I don't used to look like this 30 years ago. Do you look like that 30 years ago? You see, it proved my point. We get older, phases change, things happen, but it cannot rely on that. So what is the most accurate measure of a person or any woman? It's not their beauty and charm. It's the way that they live for Jesus. The way that you live for God. Only when you have the life of Jesus that is revealed, the life of Jesus in you that is revealing and magnified through your life, through your work, then you are the most attractive person. You are the most godly person because you have the life of Christ in you. So church, today, I'm not here to teach you how to be a mother or a woman or a person. I'm simply here trying to deliver a message, my findings of what I learned from the Bible. This also applies to me. From what I see, the Bible offers us a woman of noble character who lives wisely. So it tells me that this mighty mom knows how to live her life. And it all begins with the fear of the Lord. So this is the teaching that what I believe God has given us. It is for every person, for every season of our life. It is a guide for us to live wisely and live it well for God. How are you living today? I don't know. You decide for yourself. And based on the Bible, based on today's I'm teaching, these are the few things that I can learn. To live normally and try to live well as a human being. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again. Thank you. We can never thank you enough, or no matter what we do or what we say. Your grace is always superseding all that we've done, all that we've said. And Father, we thank you for all the mothers, all the people who show motherhood to anyone, that you're allowing us to see the other side of you. You're allowing us to see that your character is being reflected through people who fear the Lord. Even through people who don't fear the Lord, we can still see your image through these people. And Father, we thank you. We appreciate all the mothers who have put in all the effort for their family to do the right thing and try to make things easy and life better for the family. And we thank you for such a grace that allowing us to have your wisdom, to know that we can work with your wisdom and allow your wisdom to work in our life in order to have a better life. And Father, we know that we don't take this thing for granted. We're hoping that, Lord, as we follow you, you will guide our path for better or for worse. And all blessings to all the mothers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand for the last song, another song. And what's the next song?